Just want to draw your attention to, it's a little bit of a lengthy section, but I want to pull out a few points just to give an exhortation this morning. And it is rather dangerous because Matthew 25 is an eschatological passage, meaning the end times and the future. And there is much discussion and debate about that. And we like to try to put forth what we believe here. And we see here in Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse. And we see here Jesus' own discourse, his own sermon on his second coming here in Matthew 25. And here in Matthew 25 in verse number 31, you'll see here my Bible says at the heading, the final judgment. The final judgment at the end. And notice what it says. Let's read this and then we'll pull out a few points. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Verse 41. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now this section here in Matthew 25 begins when the Son of Man comes and he sits on his glorious throne. This is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is talked about in Zechariah. Zechariah says, chapter 14, that on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall move northward, the other half southward. And talking to Israel, they will flee into this valley and they will be protected. Now this valley is created because when Jesus comes back with authority, he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives and that sucker splits in two. And it creates a valley in between where Israel comes. And this valley is referred to in the book of Joel. Joel 3:14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And you're like, well, what is this valley of decision? Well, in Joel 3, if you'll back up to verse 2, he says this, I'm going to gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. And so here in Joel, he tells us here in verse 20, chapter 25, verse 31, in connection is basically when he comes back, he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, it creates a valley, and that valley is the valley of decision where he judges the nations. And it's not their decision to accept him, but his decision to accept them. That's the valley of decision. It's Jesus who is going to set up a throne and judge the nations in this valley. And you'll notice the criteria for this judgment is how they treated the least of these, my brothers. Now, the least of these, my brothers, Matthew constantly uses this phrase, my brothers, to refer to Christians. So Jesus is talking about here not just Jews or Jewish believers or poor people, but Jesus is talking about believers. How you treated believers, Jesus says, is how you treated me. And they say, well, when did we see you? When you did it to the least of these, my brothers. You did it to me. So notice here that Jesus puts himself, identifies himself with his people to the degree that if you mistreat a Christian, you're mistreating Christ.
That's right.
If you welcome a Christian, you're welcoming Christ.
That's right.
And you're seeing here the other group, who is the goats, they did not treat the Christians very well at all. So this is not saying you're saved by how you treat Christians. This is saying that you will know that you're saved by how you treat Christians.
That's right.
The evidence of saving faith, of salvation, is that you love and serve Christian people.
Amen.
This is a wonderful encouragement to me as I was just thinking about this, because I've been studying eschatology a lot lately, and I'm in Matthew 25, and this just struck me that when I come to church, I'm teaching the Bible, I get to teach God's people, and this is a great encouragement that I'm helping the sheep. I'm teaching the sheep. Or someone has helped me recently. They reached out and gave me a hand and helped me when I needed something. And they are known. They are known to the Lord here by how they treated other Christians. This is how we're identified. And notice they didn't even know whenever at the end they said, well, how did we treat you? We didn't see you when you did it to them. They didn't even know. They were just loving Christians naturally. It was something that just happened from true believers. They didn't try to. They were unaware. They were just loving people that were Christians, coming out of a natural heart of love and faith for Jesus. That's the identifying mark. It's one of them, of a Christian. Do you love each other here? Do you care for each other? You know, when you serve each other, it's an investment into eternity. Isn't that amazing? Galatians says we should take care of all people, but especially, more importantly, the household of faith. We take care of each other because that's us loving and taking care of Christ. Amen? So Christ identifies himself with you if you're a believer. Isn't that wonderful? And I have to remember this. My spouse, she's a believer. How I treat her is a reflection of how I treat Christ. Men, we need to remember that. How we treat our spouse, how we treat our husband, if you're a woman, this is a reflection of how you treat Jesus if they're a believer. Now that'll change how you act in your marriage. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the truth from your word, Lord. Thank you for these great thoughts, Lord, that you identify yourself with your people and that you commend the love of other Christians. Lord, help us to willingly, lovingly serve each other, help each other, to reach out to the household of faith, Lord, and to know that this is an eternal investment. This is something, Lord, that you say is commendable. This is something, Lord, that you identify with. Help us, Lord, to see this. Help this, Lord, to change us today as we come to worship, as we talk to each other, Lord, as even if some people offend us, Lord, help us to remember this principle that the people of faith, the believers, they are identified with you. Help us to be patient with each other. Help us, Lord, to make the world to know that we're yours because we have love one for another, just like our Lord said. Help us, Lord, to worship today. Help us to sing loud. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge you as the true and living God who sent his Son to die in our place, who resurrected from the grave. He is seated at the right hand of God now, and he is waiting to come back, just like we read about, and he will judge. He will separate, and we will all stand before him and give an account, Lord. I pray that if there's someone that's lost here today, that you would make them saved. That you would save them today, Lord. Overcome their will. Save them. Give them a new heart. Put in them a desire to love you. Help them to see the truth today. Make them one of our brothers, Lord, the least of these. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.